The King of Capri. The King of Capri had been out to a party. It was just the kind of party that kings like best. All of his friends were there and somebody had cooked his favourite food. There was royal jelly, crown of lamb, queen of puddings, buns with pearly icing and chocolate soldiers. The king ate as much as he could, but not as much as he would have liked. He had a bun in one hand, jelly in the other hand, but try as he might, he couldn't get all of the jelly and all of the bun into his mouth at once. "Why have I got two hands but only one mouth?" wondered the king. His advisor stood before him and said, "Sire, think of all the poor people in your kingdom. They can hardly feed one mouth each. However could they feed two?" But the king never did think about the poor people. He thought only about himself. It was midnight when the king got back to the palace. All of his servants were asleep. The king looked at himself in the mirror and saw that he was covered in ice cream and treacle and egg sandwiches, orange juice and little bits of banana. "If I had two mouths," he said, "I shouldn't be in this mess. How can anybody be expected to get all of their food into just one mouth?" Well, what could he do? He took off all of his dirty clothes, except for his socks and his crown, and padded onto the balcony. He pegged his clothes on the line. He had often seen clothes hanging on the line. He didn't know that you have to wash them first. The king got into his big bed and fell asleep. Capri is an island. The king's palace sat high upon the cliff that looked out to the sea. Very often the king would lean onto his balcony and admire the view over the bay. Across the bay was the city of Naples, where a lot of poor people lived. The poorest of them all was a washerwoman called Mrs. Jewel. If you went to Mrs. Jewel's house to look for her, you wouldn't be able to see her. For a start, Mrs. Jewel was very small and her tiny house was always full of steam. This is because she did her washing in a great big boiler, and all day long the boiler boiled and boiled while Mrs. Jewel threw in the dirty clothes and hauled out the clean ones and never got her head out of the steam. There were people who had known her for years but had no idea what she looked like. All they ever saw was a little column of steam moving about in the big column of steam. Mrs. Jewel had a cat. The cat was called Wash. It was midnight. Mrs. Jewel and Wash had just finished their supper. Mrs. Jewel had eaten a chicken wing, 19 baked beans, a tomato and half a slice of bread, and they were going to share a cup of milk. "Two mouths to feed, Wash," said Mrs. Jewel, "but only one supper." Jewel rubbed his head against her hand. He was the thinnest cat in the world. So thin that if he swallowed a mouse, it would make a big bulge in his tummy and carry, like carrying a tennis ball in your pocket. No matter how hard Mrs. Jewel worked, she never had enough money, because although everybody wanted clean clothes, no one wanted to pay much for them. "Never mind," she thought, "I will do my best and one day this will change." That night, a great tempest blew across the sea. On Capri, where the king was snoring loudly in his crown and his socks, the first thing the wind did was to blow the peak caps off all of the palace guards. The second thing that the wind did was to blow the birds out of the trees. The third thing that the wind did was to blow all of the deck chairs off the beach. The fourth thing that the wind did was to blow the hands off the church clock. And the fifth thing that the wind did was to blow the moustaches from all the night watchmen. The sixth thing that the wind did was to blow all the wigs off the lady-in-waiting. The seventh thing that the wind did was to blow the pyjamas from the king's men. The eighth thing that the wind did was to blow the milk out of all of the cows. And the ninth thing that the wind did was to blow all of the king's clothes off of his balcony. If you had looked over the Bay of Naples that night, you would have seen the king's velvet breeches, the king's silk shirt and golden waistcoat, and the king's embroidered cloak all flying across the sea. And where do you think they landed? They all landed on Mrs. Jewel's washing line, but she doesn't know that yet. Never in all of the history of Capri had there been such a wind. Everyone was woken up, except for the king, who was so fat and weighed down with all the buns and jelly that even a tempest couldn't as much blow a hair across the pillow. But perhaps that was because his hair was stuck to the pillow with the jam sandwich he kept underneath it at night in case he got hungry. By the morning, the news was out. Every single thing in Capri, every pot, pan, coat hanger, chicken, and lottery ticket had been blown away. And where do you think they had landed? It was Wash who found out first. Wash had woken up on a pile of towels where he wasn't supposed to be sleeping. He yawned and stretched himself as it was daylight. He thought he would go outside for a walk. Mrs. Jewell had a big backyard where she dried all of her laundry, and when Wash had finished walking and sniffing and rolling and looking and all the things that cats like to do, he lay down high up on the wall, his body as orange as the sun and his eyes like two gold coins. The wind was outside. "Good morning, Wash," said the wind. "Buongiorno," said Wash, by which Italian cats mean good morning. "I had a bit of a night last night," said the wind. "I'm sorry about all the things in the backyard." Wash, who wasn't taking any notice, just said, "Don't mention it." Then Wash looked, then he looked again, then he looked again and again. It looked as if the whole world had piled itself up in Mrs. Jewell's backyard. There was a bed with somebody still asleep in it. On top of the bed was a cow. On top of the cow was a vacuum cleaner. On top of the vacuum cleaner was a bicycle. On top of the bicycle was a box of apples. On top of the apples was a duck. On top of the duck was a pair of knickers. And on top of the knickers was a big pan of chicken soup. "I'll eat that," said Wash. He climbed up, and while he was slurping from the pan, he realised that everything he had ever seen in his life was piled up in the backyard. "I didn't know where else to put it," said the wind. "You do these things in a moment of madness and then you're left with the mess." But then Wash didn't answer because he was too busy eating. "I'll clear it up later," said the wind. "Goodbye, Wash." "Ciao," said Wash, by which Italian cats mean goodbye. The wind flew off and everything was still. When Mrs. Jewell came out with her first load of laundry, she saw Wash, round as a ball, fast asleep on a pair of knickers. And when she saw that the whole world was in her backyard, "Well, I'll be blowed," she said. Now Wash and Mrs. Jewell were rich. They had everything they needed, but best of all, Mrs. Jewell had a new suit of clothes. "These are fit for a king," she said, when she saw the velvet breeches, the silk shirt, the gold waistcoat, and the embroidered cloak. She soon had the stains out of them, and when she put on the clothes, what she looked like? She looked like a queen. News soon spread that there was a new queen come to Naples who had all of the treasure in the world in her backyard. And every morning she sat on an upturned laundry basket and graciously received her visitors. To the rich she gave advice and to the poor she gave money. She had plenty of money because Wash had found the king's treasure chest underneath a box of fish. But what of the king of Capri? Well, he and everybody who lived on the island were now as poor as the people of Naples had been before the wind blew everything across the sea. The king had nothing to wear but his socks, his crown, and old dressing gown that belonged to the gardener. And he had nothing to eat either, except what he could grow in the garden or catch from the sea. All his servants and friends had gradually left him, one by one, to work for the Queen of Naples as she was building a palace in her backyard. Soon the king was the only person left on the island. He was so lonely and sad and thin. "How glad I am that I only have one mouth to feed," he said to himself. "If I had two mouths to feed, I should be twice as hungry." And then he thought of all the food that he had wasted and thrown away, and of the many times he had refused to give the beggars anything to eat. One day, when his plate was empty, he swallowed his pride and he rowed across the bay to see the Queen of Naples. How splendid everything looked on the glittering coastline. There was market stalls selling fresh bread and people running about, building things and making things, and everybody seemed happy and full. When he asked the way to the Queen's house, they told him how good and kind and generous she was. And the king remembered that nobody had ever said that about him. He came to a marvellous palace and there was an enormous orange cat sitting on the front step. "Is the queen at home?" asked the king. "Si, si, si," said Wash, by which Italian cats mean yes. The king could hear somebody singing, so he went around to the back and there was Mrs. Jewell, now the Queen of Naples, standing over a steaming tub and washing her nightdress. "Have you no servants?" asked the king. "Hundreds," said the queen. "But where's the fun in that?" "I used to have servants once," said the king. And when he looked closely at Mrs. Jewel, "Come to think of it, I used to have a suit of clothes just like the ones that you're wearing." "What, just like these?" said the queen. "Well, mine had a few stains on them, it's true." And now the king told the story of how every single thing on his island had been blown away by a tempest. "Wash!" shouted the queen. "Come here. Do you know anything about a tempest?" Wash slunk around the corner and had to tell the whole story about how the wind had dropped everything from Capri into Mrs. Jewel's backyard, including the king's clothes. "Well, you better take it back, hadn't you?" said Mrs. Jewel to the king. "But what would you do then?" asked the king. "Oh, I'd go back to the laundry business, I suppose," said Mrs. Jewel. "Only I wouldn't want Wash to be hungry again." The king was silent for a while, and while he was silent, he was looking at the sunshine and the flowers and wondering why he never used to look at them before. Then he looked at Mrs. Jewel and he thought she was as lovely as the sunshine and the flowers, and that if she were with him, he would be happy and good for the rest of his life. He said, "When I was the king of Capri, I used to long for two mouths so that I could eat twice as much food. I should like two mouths now, my own and yours to talk to me, my own and yours to smile at me, my own and yours to kiss good morning and kiss good night." And the king asked Mrs. Jewel to marry him. And what do you think she said? The king and Mrs. Jewel were married in great style, and everyone from Naples and Capri was invited, and everyone had enough to eat and a present to take home. The best guest of all was Wash's old friend, the wind, who carefully blew everybody's possessions back to the right place. So the bed went back to the bedroom, the cow went back to the field, the vacuum cleaner went back into the cupboard, the bicycle went riding down the road, and the apples, well, they had all been eaten. But the duck went back to her pond, the knickers went back in the drawer, and the pan of soup, well, that had been eaten too. And Wash, who had eaten it on the very first morning when the wind made a queen of Mrs. Jewel, licked his lips, lay on the wall, his fur as orange as the sun, and his eyes like two gold coins.